Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
Some of you maybe have been taught that all sin is exactly the same, there's no distinction, sin is sin, and it's all the same. That's not true. All sins are the same in the sense that all of them are an offense against the Holy God. They're all the same in the sense that they're all enough to damn a soul forever. But that doesn't mean that there's no difference at all between sins. There are degrees of sin. Scripture itself speaks of great sins. Some sins are great sins. Jesus spoke of people who on Judgment Day will have more or less culpability because of the kinds of sins that they committed. There are sins that are especially egregious and especially damaging. You know, sometimes, and you got to understand that to understand this principle, because there are people who recoil at the whole idea that God would ever be displeased with a Christian, because if He's displeased with Christians based on sin, then they figure He would have to always be displeased with us and always be unhappy with us because we're always sinning. We're never perfect, right? But thinking that way is a failure, I think, to understand fatherly love. Most of the time, a father just overlooks the faults of his son. Just passes them by. He doesn't allow them to spoil the intimacy of the relationship at all. It's only every once in a while when there's something especially egregious where it becomes an issue. And God is like that. God just overlooks the vast majority of the sins that we commit. Just lets them go as Christians. But once in a while, just as a father overlooks 100 imperfections in his son before he disciplines one, God, depending on the severity of our sin, it can be more or less disruptive, and there are some that are just especially disruptive to the relationship. So, what are we asking for when we say, "Forgive us our debts"? We're asking that that disrupted fellowship be restored. We're asking for God to turn His face of favor back towards us while we're being chastised by God, and we're suffering those consequences. He is, during that time, dealing with us according to our sin in some measure, treating us in some measure as our sin deserves, and asking forgiveness means, "Father, don't deal with me according to this sin anymore. Don't let this sin have any impact on how you deal with me and how you feel towards me anymore." That's what "forgive me" means. Jesus calls our sins here debts. Why? Hasn't the price been paid? Yeah, the price has been paid. He calls them debts not because the price hasn't been paid. It has. They're debts just simply in the sense that the issue between us and God over this particular sin is now, at this moment, unresolved. It's an issue that needs to be worked through. Something needs to be done. God wants you to acknowledge your guilt and confess it to Him. And He wants you to repent and turn from your sin. And He wants you to stop moving away from Him and start seeking Him and seeking after Him. And so it's unresolved until that happens. When you first sin, right after you sin, it's appropriate to feel bad. You should feel bad. 1 John says, don't wallow in self-condemnation. And that's true, but that doesn't mean you never feel bad over sin. It is appropriate to feel bad. Forgiveness is the moment when God says, "Okay, that's enough. You don't have to feel bad anymore. Okay, Peter, you're out there weeping bitterly. That's enough. You've shed enough tears. You've been broken and contrite long enough. You have been seeking my face long enough. Now, get up. It's over. I'm putting aside my displeasure. It's over. You don't have to weep about it anymore, Peter. Dry your eyes. It's okay now for you to return to joy. You can smile now." That's the forgiveness of the Christian life. It's over. Nothing remains to be done. It's closed. There's nothing unresolved still. It's all wrapped up. It's filed away. And as far as your relationship goes, there's no need for it to ever be mentioned again. by either party. I forgive you means case closed. That sin no longer determines the nature of God's feelings and actions towards you, and it need not determine your feelings either, or your interaction with God. No need to keep apologizing, no need to keep bringing it up, no need for you to fret over it. Once you're forgiven, it's over. It's over. It's gone. It's done. You say, okay, well, but how do I know when I've reached that point? How do I know when I'm forgiven? Because sometimes it's not instantaneous. 99% of the time it is instantaneous. Most of the Christian life, we sin, we say, God, please forgive me. I'm sorry, that was sin. Forgive me. And it's over. It's just right there on the spot. It's done. But once in a while, it's not so instantaneous. Sometimes, you know, you read the penitential psalms and you can tell that the psalmist has been suffering God's anger for a long time and it's going a lot longer than they thought it would be. In fact, to them it seems too long and they're crying out, how long? How much longer, Lord, is this going to go? It's longer than I would have expected. During that time he displeased, it's appropriate to be broken and sorrowful and contrite and to weep. During that time, but after forgiveness, it's appropriate to return to the joy of salvation. So how do you know when that time is over? How do you know? Again, a very difficult question to answer, and I think the best I can say is, you know, you've received this temporal family forgiveness, and it's over when God removes the signs of His displeasure. When His displeasure is gone, and I'm not talking about His discipline, I'm talking about His displeasure. Those are two different things. Sometimes discipline remains, while the displeasure is gone, but the discipline remains. 2 Samuel 12:13 is an example of that. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. So David, right at that moment, is forgiven. Displeasure is gone. God's happy now with David, and everything's fine between David and God. But then Nathan went on, verse 14. But because by doing this you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt, the son born to you will die. The Lord has forgiven your sin, but the consequence is still going to happen. Sometimes the consequences of our sin can be lifelong. But that doesn't mean God's displeasure with us is lifelong. Forgiveness isn't the removal of consequences. It is the removal of the hard feelings and the restoration of favor. God is unhappy with you. It just, all those things that I read in the penitential psalm, it dries up your life. It dries up your heart. It takes away your joy. There's just a sense of darkness and gloom in your life. And I'm not talking about the gloom that you inflict on yourself. I'm talking about that sense that Micah had when he was sitting in the darkness waiting for the Lord to bring him back out into the light. The gloom of God's disfavor. He was waiting for the Lord. When God turns His face away from you in discipline, sorrow takes over and you just lose your ability to enjoy good things. It's probably the best summary I have for it. You lose your ability to enjoy good things. You open up your Bible, it's just print on the page. You can't enjoy it. You try and pray and it's just no sense of God's presence, no sense of God's smile. You try and serve in ministry and it's not fulfilling. It's almost like your gifts are dried up, but you don't even have them anymore, it feels like. And all your work feels like you're spinning your wheels and you don't have favor in people's eyes. And you see a beautiful sunrise just leaves you flat and a delicious meal is just blah. And you just can't enjoy good things. You can't enjoy God's goodness and His grace, relationships fall apart, and that's the darkness of being in that time. And when God forgives, that's all over. All of that is removed. And the joy can return. Again, remember, I'm not saying that just because those things are happening in your life, God is displeased with you. I'm not saying that. Sometimes those things happen. Sometimes God turns His face away for other reasons. But when it is because of sin, then you can tell when God forgives because all of that lifts and is gone. And your ability to delight in worship is restored. Your ability to delight in His people is restored. Your ability to delight in His creation is restored. All the joys of knowing God returns. insight returns, effectiveness in ministry returns, good desires in your heart come back. And I realize what I'm describing is very subjective. But I can tell you, it's something that I've experienced. And that's saying a lot, because I tend to be a very non-emotional, kind of logical thinking kind of a person. But I don't feel much, and I don't notice much of anything. And so for me to notice any experiential kind of thing internally, it has to be very extreme for me to pick up on it at all. And I can tell you that this is something that I have experienced in dramatic, clear fashion. I mean, crystal clear. Many of you know that the reason I left my last church, Creekside Church, was because of sin in my life. I had fallen into terrible sin, and the result was devastating for me and for my family and for the whole church. I lost most of my friends, my job, my ministry, my integrity, my reputation was all lost. The consequences of my sin were just devastating. And when that happened, I was just crushed. I mean, crushed. I experienced sorrow and grief that was far more agonizing than anything I've ever experienced in my lifetime by far. I was absolutely shattered. And for the first time in my life, I could acutely feel God's displeasure. And that lasted for a while, several weeks. I don't remember exactly how long. It seemed like an eternity, but I can tell you, I will never forget the day when it lifted. And the Lord took me out of darkness, brought me back out into the light. There was a day that came when I could just feel it was gone. His displeasure was gone. It was interesting because all the external consequences of my sin were still in place. Nothing changed. Everything I had lost was still lost. Nothing changed in my circumstances. The only thing that changed was my fellowship with God was restored. And I just got up that morning and the darkness was gone. The internal dryness was gone. I felt His displeasure lift, and the ability to enjoy good things came back. The ability to smile, the ability to delight in prayer, the ability to delight in His Word, and to feel fed by it. And I could just tell that it was okay now for me to get up out of the ashes and get on with my life without continuing in brokenness anymore. I was forgiven. And that sin that I committed, was that paid for on the cross 2,000 years ago? Yeah, in full. Paid for. And it was wiped off my record forever the day I became a Christian. And the condemnation to hell that I deserved because of that sin, at the moment of my conversion, was eliminated. That was my eternal forgiveness. That kind of forgiveness I had received years earlier. But the other kind of forgiveness, that family forgiveness, came weeks after I had committed that sin. The displeasure of my Father in heaven over that particular sin on that day was removed and I was restored. So I can tell you from experience, it's something that you can discern. That's what we're asking for when we pray, Father, forgive us. If it's possible to be estranged from God to a degree, and other times to be especially close to God as He restores the joy of His salvation to you, if it's possible to experience those things in the extreme, it's also possible to experience them in smaller, more subtle degrees. Where do you stand with God right now? How close are you? How much of the joy of His salvation are you enjoying in this moment? Seek His face, so that whatever degree of closeness you're enjoying now, you might receive more.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowd-funded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.